We are back with another episode from the Stands podcast, week 13 preview. JC here alongside Jacob. How you doing, brother?
Doing good, man. I hope you're doing well.
Yeah, man. So far, so good. Man, I wish Clint could join us. We're having some technical difficulties, going through some transitions, and he's just not able to hop on right now, but we're going to be still hopefully, you know, getting his picks in and go from there. But before we get started, Jacob, why don't you give us an update, man? We got this week and next week, and then regular season is over, and that's going to be the it as far as us tracking our picks for the year. So why don't you go ahead and give us a record from last week, and then give us the updated standings on the yearly totals.
Yeah, man, we're kind of coming to the end here pretty quick. Like I said, just two more weeks worth of picks, and we'll crown a champion for this regular season title here. But yeah, based on last week, it's not looking good for me. I last week in week 12 went 4-14 on the week out of 18 games. That hurt a lot, but everybody has those weeks, so we're gonna bounce back and we're still in it. Maybe just like Clemson and Carolina getting to the playoffs, we've got a very long shot to win this thing. But hey, we're still gonna fight. And then coming to second last week was Clint. He went 7-11, a respectable week, but, JC went 8-10. So he won the week. And, that puts the total so far for the year. Clint is now 106-108. And then in second place, JC is 105-109. And then I am back at 100-114. So, if that record sounds worse than I think it is based on the standings, because I'm only six games out from Clint, but I got to have a miracle couple of weeks here.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not impossible. I mean, think about it. You have a 3 or 4 game like advantage over him this week, or me, and you're right back in. It does seem, I need to go back, and I know we've talked about it previously, but seeing what the records were last year, because I know I was not well above 500, but definitely over 500, and now I'm scratching and clawing. I'd be interested to see what the rest of the totals were for everybody. But it has been tough, man. And you know, I don't know if it's because of, I think one of the reasons is we have more marquee matchups with some of these big conferences. So maybe that probably plays a role, and maybe just some more parity with the transfer portal as well. So that's what I'm going to tell myself while we're all under 500s.
I like it. I'll piggyback on that.
Yeah. Can't go wrong with that. All right, man. Well, let's get right into it. So we have a pretty big slate, I would say, to cover, starting with a Friday night game and then going into Saturday again. And this is the last week before the rivalry week, and we're getting the conference championships and Army Navy. So let's get right into it. Starting Friday night, we have UNLV traveling to San Jose State. This is a 10 o'clock kick. It's going to be on Fox Sports 1. UNLV opens up a 7.5-point favorites. Jacob, let me get your take on this game. Who do you have on this one?
Yeah, man. UNLV is 8-2 on the year, and they were ranked in the top 25 earlier this year. And then they dropped out and kind of made their way back in. And San Jose State, we actually talked about last week when they played Boise State, and they were 6-3 at the time. They're now 6-4, so a respectable team. But they had the opportunity to cover there last week against Boise, and they failed to do that. So I think they're 5-5 on the year for us covering the spreads here. So UNLV, if they were favored by 10 to 12 to 14, I would possibly say that San Jose State may have a shot here. But I think UNLV is a pretty good team. UNLV is a pretty good team, even without that starting quarterback they had to start this year. They're a pretty good team. So only 7.5. I understand it's an away game for them, and to us it's a late game, but I guess over there it'd be a 7 o'clock kick. So I'm going to ride with UNLV here to cover the 7.5 and hopefully start my week off the right way with a dub.
Yeah, I mean, as surprising as it was that the quarterback left the program, you know, and when they were undefeated, look, they made their way back. The other guy playing quarterback is a stud, and they're ranked in the top 25. So shout out to UNLV overcoming some difficulties there within the program and getting back in the top 25. Look, I'm gonna take UNLV as well. Look, San Jose State had a good start to last week's game versus Boise when they were, I believe, like 14 point dogs or 13.5. They were up by 14, actually 14-0 to start that game, and then Boise ended up coming back and handling business 42-21. But I'm gonna take UNLV and the 7.5. I think they're a lot stronger team at this point. I don't have a lot of trust in San Jose State, and for Clint, he's gonna do the same. Clint's gonna take UNLV to cover. All right, let's move on. And this is, game of the week. Game day will be in Ohio for Ohio State. The Buckeyes hosting the Hoosiers of Indiana. The big surprise of the year, Indiana, Kurt Cignetti. That team is undefeated coming to this week. This is a noon kick on Fox. Ohio State, 10.5-point favorites. Started out like 13 or 14, and it's come down a little bit towards Indiana. But 10.5, Jacob, who you got?
Yeah, dude, this is, like you said, the game of the week. Unfortunately, it's a noon kickoff. I swear Fox is ruining that with the big noon kickoff. These games should be night games. But anyway, I digress on that. For is this game, dude. Indiana is a top five team. That's wild to say, especially starting this year, but they're here for a reason. They're 10-0. Ohio State is looking very, very good, like a national championship contender for sure. And you can't say the exact same about Indiana. They're 10-0, but for his national championship hopes, we'll have to see. This is their Super Bowl for the year. Because some people are saying if they lose this game by a decent amount, 21, 28 points, that they could possibly, even though they're 10-0, could possibly be sitting on the bubble for is getting out of the playoff, the 12-team playoff. So they have to perform here. They have to look formidable. They have to play very well and give Ohio State a game. And I personally think they will. 10.5 is a respectable number, and I'm going to take Indiana to cover that. And I think the main reason is because a lot of people don't have hope in this Indiana team. And I think that number, that 10.5, could be bigger. But the reason I have hope is these teams have played some of the same teams this year, and the results have actually favored Indiana in some aspects. I think both teams have played like three teams the same. I think they played Northwestern. Yeah, and Indiana put 41 on Northwestern, and Ohio State put 31 up. So there's some games like that. Nebraska, Indiana beat the living crap out of them 56-7, and then Ohio State just snuck by Nebraska 21-17. And those were in back-to-back weeks. And something that is going in Indiana's favor, too, is they are off of a bye. They had a bye last week, and Ohio State hasn't had a bye in, I think, 5 weeks or so, something like that, over a month for sure. So I think that leans in Indiana's favor. And like I said, I'm going to take Indiana to cover. I still think that Ohio State will win this game, but Indiana covers, and I still think they could possibly make the playoff with that kind of a performance where they stay within 10 of Ohio State. So go Hoosiers.
Yeah, I'm kind of torn with the playoff aspect of this, and obviously we'll get into that in the coming weeks and we'll have some more answers. But yeah, I mean, look, when you look at their strength of schedule and you look at their key wins, they're lacking they really are. And that's not all. I mean, that's not all on them to a degree. I mean, it's still Big Ten, which is, I would say, probably the second best conference in America right now. And it's not their fault. Michigan's been down and things like that. So, but they've beaten everybody in front of them in a really good conference. And, again, not the strongest schedule, but look, they've got done. They're undefeated. And look, they have a chance to solidify right here. This is a chance. This can shut everybody up that doesn't believe that they belong in the playoff, don't belong in the Big Ten championship, because this is going to play them right into that game, most likely taking on Oregon. And then if you do, I mean, look, they beat Ohio State. As long as they don't lose the following week, it doesn't matter what happens in the conference championship game. I believe they're in the playoffs. So you're right. Like, this is the biggest game of the year for them. I think this plays into it. Now, they lose by one. They lose by a field goal last second. It's going to be really, really tough on the committee to make that decision. And I think it depends on what some other teams do around them. So they might have some help. Some other teams drop off. You take a one-loss team that lost to the number two team in the nation by a close one over some other two or three-loss teams. Even in the SEC, I think the committee might do that, especially when the conference is, people are talking about SEC specifically getting four or five teams. Then you could be like, look, you guys got four or five teams in or got four in, but the two lost one or the three lost one. Yeah, we're not putting them in, over a one loss Big Ten team. So I could see that happening. But as far as this pick goes, I'm going to take Indiana as well. I wish it would have stayed at the 12.5, 13 mark. I really would have felt confident, but at 10.5, I will take Indiana. Clint's going to roll with the Hoosiers as well. So it looks like a clean sweep across the board for the first couple. Clint's picking Ohio State. My bad. Clint's picking Ohio State. So he'll be the one different on this, which I'm kind of surprised about. I think he's been pretty high on Indiana as well. But looks like he's not going vibes this week. It looks like he's going, you know, going for the kill, trying to get this win since he's been winning the last few weeks. So
there we go.
I think that's the case. All right. Number three, Texas. They are hosting Kentucky, a 3:30 kick on ABC. Texas, 20-point favorites over the Wildcats, Jacob. I thought this was a little crazy. I mean, just at this point in the year, right, every team's a little bit banged up. Texas is kind of off and on. Kentucky's obviously beaten Ole Miss, played Alabama close. They're one of the more inconsistent teams, but not a team that would surprise me if they covered this 20. Where do you lean on this one?
Yeah, I would have to say that the spread kind of surprised me too. It opened up at just 20.5, and I guess people have been like, okay, wow, 20, okay, I'll take Kentucky. And it's just gone down half a point, so Texas minus 20. But yeah, I think people have seen this spread and been like, okay, wow, Kentucky's, you know, played pretty well in some games this year and played pretty bad in some games, very hot and cold. And they had the surprising win against Ole Miss earlier this year. Not many teams can say that. So they've been competitive in a couple of games, like the Georgia game, if you remember, 13-12 earlier this year. But yeah, dude, that's quite the spread. But I'm going to say that Texas will cover that because of two reasons. First one being Texas is hearing everybody say that their strength of schedule, you know, if they lose to A&M next week, then they may be out of this whole shebang, of this whole 12-team playoff, because one, they won't make the SEC championship game more than likely if they lose to that, right, to A&M. So they'll be sitting at home with two losses. And if they lose this game, it'll be three losses, definitely out of there. So they have to show up and play very well. And I think they will. And I think what kind of leads them to have a little bit of an advantage, talking about the Longhorns here, is the Kentucky Wildcats, they're only 4-6 on the year. They've had a couple of games where they played pretty well, but they are fighting for a bowl, but they play Louisville next week. So as much as it's weird to say, because normally we say, you know, there's a look ahead game when you have to play a lesser team and you have a big game coming up after that. This is not a lesser team like Kentucky playing Texas. I'm saying in my mind, because Kentucky is 4-6 on the year, they don't have a whole lot more to play for other than winning that rivalry game against Louisville. So to me, this is kind of like a look ahead game for Kentucky, because it's just number three Texas. Like, you're going to get beat, you know. So I'm actually going to take Texas to cover the 20 points here. They need to make a statement, and Kentucky's looking maybe towards that Louisville game, just the rivalry game. That's all they got left on the year. So yeah, give me the Longhorns minus 20.
See, this is where we differ. And Clint and I both have Kentucky in this game plus the 20. I just think that, you know, Stoops can get this team ready for big games. And look, at this point in their season, they are fighting for something, which is a bowl game. They're sitting at 4-6. Like you said, they can't afford to look ahead, because if they want to...
Do teams care about bowl games now?
I don't know if the teams do, but I know the coaches do, because this is why. Because one, money. You get another... Well, not that, but you... that's part of it, no doubt. But you get an extra month with your team, and that's an extra X amount of practices. And then you get some early enrollees, or you get some guys that are committed to your team. They can come and actually watch practice. Some actually practice, right, with the team, see what's going on, get acclimated to just kind of the life of a college student, even though it's the holiday, so it's not exactly, you know, how it's going to be. But again, extra practices are huge, especially for some young guys. So I think that is a positive that a lot of teams look for. And look, yeah, it's another chance to get some more wins. So again, do they think they can beat Texas? I don't see why not. They should have beaten Georgia. I mean, they didn't even score a touchdown. They lost that game, but and they shot themselves in the foot. They beat Ole Miss, and like you said, only one other team has done that. So the Kentucky team is capable. Do I think they're going to do it? No. It's also at Texas. I don't think they have a chance, but I think they have a chance to cover the 20. Texas has been a little bit inconsistent as of late. They're still getting it done. They're going to be in the playoff as long as they don't lose this game. But look, Texas has got to be thinking about a look-ahead game. I mean, right? They have Texas A&M next week, a rivalry kind of renewed, and they're trying to bolster their spot in the SEC championship game, let alone the playoff. So I would be thinking look-ahead maybe for the Longhorns in this one. So we'll see.
Don't you try to talk me out of it.
I'm trying to talk you out of it. This is a game though. I am pretty interested. I think I'll be watching kind of closely. It'll just be one of those ones that I think we'll kind of know early what kind of game it's going to be. And if Kentucky can keep it low scoring and not get in a shootout, then I think they're going to be just fine.
Sure.
All right. Let's go jump back to the Big Ten. Number four, Penn State, traveling to Minnesota. I'd imagine it's going to be a cold one. 3:30 kick, CBS. Penn State, though, opened up as 11.5 point favorites. Jacob, where do you lean on this one?
Yeah, Minnesota's been a tough little team this year, 6-4. They've been one of the better Big Ten teams, which is kind of crazy to say, but they just, as a conference, have had a down year in the lower half of the conference, but upper half is obviously elite, and Penn State is one of those elite teams. And when you're only giving them 11.5 in the cold weather, like you said, it could be cold. It could be very cold, but I mean, Penn State's, you know, all these Big Ten teams are equipped to win in those conditions. I think Minnesota had some momentum there when they won the last four games before last week. They you know, beat big teams like USC and Maryland and Illinois and stuff, but then they went and lost to Rutgers last week. So they kind of had some of that momentum stopped before the season here, and they now draw number four Penn State, who I think is rolling right now. So Penn State, like you said, I think they're sitting in the driver's seat of having that five seed right now, depending on what happens in the conference championship games. It may be the loser of Oregon, Ohio State that could get that fifth seed, but Penn State's sitting right there to get at least a home game in the first round of the playoffs. So they just need to cruise to a couple of these wins, and I think they easily can with only having to cover 11.5. Like I said, Minnesota is a tough little scrappy team, but I'm going to take Penn State to cover here.
Yeah, I like the Nittany Lions as well. I think they're actually sitting in a great spot because obviously I think you want to win your conference. And unfortunately, I don't quite agree with this, but the way the kind of talk is and the way the playoff is going, Lane Kiffin is the one kind of spearheading this, of course, is saying that like we don't even want to be in the conference championship game type thing, right?
Which
I guess I get if you're in that position, but you don't control your own destiny. So the risk reward is, do we play in a championship game and risk losing and dropping back, or do we win the game and get an automatic bid? I did see, I don't remember the gentleman's name, but one of the guys that are on the playoff committee, he said that they do hold in high regard teams that make the conference championship game, even if they lose. And I think they should, because that's the issue we had with the 4-team playoff and even Notre Dame specifically, is the fact that some teams are playing an extra game. And playing an extra game is another opportunity to lose. And if you're not playing that week, you don't get that opportunity. So I don't think you should be penalized per se. So with that being said, I think Penn State is in outside looking in for the Big Ten, right? I think it's going to be Oregon, and then it's going to be Ohio State or Indiana. That's what it's going to be. But I think Penn State's in a safe spot where they're ranked high enough where they're not going to have that chance of them falling out. So in this instance, it does benefit them because, one, they're going to get an extra week off, and they're going to get a home game. And it's probably going to be freezing cold. So like they're going to have some advantages to probably whatever teams are playing. So I like Penn State and the 11.5. I think they've been rolling the offense. Look, they can put up points. This isn't the Penn State of the last couple of years. So I'm going to go with the Nittany Lions as well. Clint is going to go the opposite way. He's going to take Minnesota. I think trying to use that momentum they had in the last few weeks, obviously besides the Rutgers game, which Clint seems to kind of like, we'll get to that at the very end when it comes to the Rutgers pick, but he's going to take Minnesota and that plus 11.5. All right. Now, this is an interesting game, and a one that we have been talking about for weeks and weeks and weeks, and it's finally here. Notre Dame, ranked number 6 in the country, hosting number 19 Army. This is a 7 p.m. kick on NBC at Yankee Stadium. Obviously, it's not the old Yankee Stadium, but still a legendary place to think about playing, right? Yankee Stadium. Notre Dame, 14-point favorites. This is where I'm struggling with, Jacob, because this is why. Obviously, it's been well documented how I felt about Notre Dame after watching what happened to Northern Illinois. But as of late, I've had struggle picking against them because they have just been dominating people with the run game. And of course, I picked them to cover last week, and of course, Virginia backdoor covers. But 14 seems like a lot. This Army team is one of the best, if not the best, rushing teams in the country. Quarterback is dynamic. He's been banged up. That's to be expected for, you know, a triple option type team. But the way they run this triple option is not traditional. It's spread out, right? They have some kind of normal plays, and then they kind of lull you to sleep with this run, and then this guy can throw it if need be. So 14 points, very interesting. Army obviously fighting for a playoff spot, trying to get, you know, solidify themselves in the conference championship game. But not to forget that they still do play Navy at the end of the year. But 14 points, who you got?
Yeah, man, I feel like it's kind of, I don't want to say easy, but hey, you just got to believe in Army, right? At least it's easier for this pick. I could see this game going either way. Like I said, it depends on how this game starts. If Notre Dame hops on and goes up by 14, 21 points real quick, just like they did against Navy, Navy was not coming back from that. Same thing with Army. I don't think they're going to come back from that kind of a deficit, especially early. So it depends on how this game starts in my mind, but 14 is quite a lot. Notre Dame not being technically at home. I guess this is a much closer proximity to Army, right? So this is
100%.
Kind of a home game for Army, if you will.
Yeah.
And there's a year for them to do it is this year. And so 14, I'm going to take Army to hopefully cover that. I really hope that they can win this game because that, like you, for our sake, kind of hopefully gets Notre Dame out of the equation and puts Clemson, Carolina, and some other teams, including Army, up in that, you know, range to possibly win this. And like I said, this is Army Super Bowl, but they have a tough couple of weeks, even if they win this, because I think they have to play, like you said, Navy and possibly Tulane in their conference championship game. So
yep.
They're right there. If they sweep that, I think there's a good shot they could get in because they'll be 12-0, whatever the case is, going into that Army Navy game technically. Because their schedule is strength of schedule is 133rd in the nation. So I don't think based on everything right now, Army has a shot to get in, even though they're 9-0. But if they can win this outright, they have a shot. So I'm going to take Army.
Yeah, I mean, winning this game, you know, beating Tulane, obviously, not only, that would give them the automatic bid, but winning this game would definitely jump them up in the rankings, obviously. But on the Notre Dame side, I think if they lose, they're out. I think there's no question about it. You don't have a conference championship game. Your two losses are going to be to Army, which will be a top 15 team, but into Northern Illinois. So that loss will resurface again at that point, right? They don't have enough. Now, look, they do have a lot of top 25 wins. I will say that on their schedule that a lot of teams don't. So they have that going for them. But I think that a loss at this point in the season without that conference championship game is going to hinder them from getting in that 12-team playoff. I'm going to lean the same, dude. I'm going to lean Army. Really go America. And it's 14 points, a little disrespectful. I mean,
there it is.
Remember 4, 5, 6 weeks ago, we were talking about Army, Navy getting the playoff. Yeah, obviously Navy is not as good as Army. We believe that they haven't played head-to-head yet, but Navy got trounced by Notre Dame, recently got trounced by Tulane. I think this Army's team is much better. The defense is much better, so I'm excited about this. Clint's going to go the other way, though. Clint's going to go with the Irish. I wish he was here for this pick.
Yeah.
Because he'd probably be talking a lot of shit right now, probably rightfully so, even though I think I've kind of changed my tone on Notre Dame a little bit, but he's going to go with the Fighting Irish for whatever reason. You know, I thought America had kind of, you know, figured out the whole Europe thing and succeeded from them, but he is going to be on the Irish side for that one. So
I got you. Just a couple more stats on this. Notre Dame's strength schedule is 82nd in the country compared to, like I was talking about, Army's is 133rd. And both this is why it should be a really good game, because both teams right now against the spread are like top in the nation. Army's 7-1-1. And then Notre Dame is 7-2-1. So regardless, this should be a really, really good game.
I like it. I like it. Yeah, it's going to be close, no doubt. All right, let's move on to Alabama, Oklahoma, number 7 ranked Crimson Tide traveling to Oklahoma, 7:30 kick on ABC. Bama opens up as 13.5 point favorites. Jacob, where do you lean on this one?
The way you said traveling, maybe they're taking some wagons over there or something.
Hey, they might be.
The old Oregon Trail or something, but yeah, 14.5 is that what? Or 13.5? I'm sorry,
13.5.
You can give me 14.5. I'm probably going to take Alabama here. Some people have actually still taken. I think I saw that the Barstool Sports guy, forgot his name. He put like $100K on Bama to win the national championship.
Dev Poynton did. Yep, pays out a hefty million or two.
Yeah, like that's. Some people believe in this Bama team, and I'm one of them too. I hate to say it, being a Clemson fan, but how could you not like this offense and knowing who they have at quarterback? Jalen Milroe, he can obviously be hot and cold sometimes, but dude, when he's on, there's not many teams that can stop him. And I think this Bama team is kind of like Ole Miss. They're kind of hitting the tracks at the right time of the year. And they're going to be really hot teams going into this thing. So even if Bama doesn't make it to the SEC championship game, which I think right now, especially if Texas beats A&M, they'll be in there.
Right.
But I think that Bama's just going to roll here and beat Oklahoma pretty handily here. So 14, 13.5.
Yeah, I agree. Look, if Milroe's on and, you know, he's not all the time, but more so than not, they're one of the best teams in the country. So I'm gonna lean Bama as well in the 13.5. I think Oklahoma just, it's just not the year, man. They don't got it. So, and look, they're trying to get to a bowl game too. I think they're right at 5 wins. So
yep,
they're fighting for a bowl win there. But I'm taking Bama. Clint's taking Bama as well. So clean sweep across the board for the boys. Let's jump back to the ACC. The top team in the ACC right now, Miami still. They're hosting Wake Forest. Miami's ranked number 8 in the country. Noon kick, ESPN. Hurricanes open up as 24-point favorites. Jacob, who you got?
Oh, when you said top team, I guess technically Miami's the top-ranked ACC team, but SMU is technically the top team in the ACC.
Top-ranked team, but in the standings-wise, you are correct.
You're good. You're completely good. I was just wanting to give SMU their respect there because that's been a surprise. But anyway, this game, Wake Forest, Miami. 24 is a lot. Wake has kind of fallen off the cliff this year. Well, really, they had the past couple of years, I think. But having to travel to Miami, having to try to get 24, man, noon game. I think Cam Ward's going to come back, and he's going to be really pissed off after losing that last week. Not many teams have slowed him down. He was kind of slowed down that week. I mean, man, 24, I'm going to take Miami to cover the 24.
Look, and this is the thing. Miami is not a home field advantage at all. It just isn't. You can watch the game. You can see the pictures. It's not a home game or not a home field advantage. Noon kick probably benefits Wake Forest a little bit more, I would think. I mean, they're traveling, I know, but as far as like Miami waking up slow, maybe overlooking. Clint's going to go Miami with you. I'm going to go the opposite. I'm going to go Wake Forest. I don't have a lot of confidence in them. 24 is a lot. Maybe Miami kind of falls asleep, but at the same time, it could be 42-0, you know, with the Miami team. You don't really know what you're getting with that defense.
True. Now, you're right. When you said that, I was like, dang, this defense, yeah, 24 is a lot for this defense to cover. Offense can cover it. But, dude, you're right. Can I change my pick?
I mean, you definitely can if you want.
I'm going to actually take Wake.
All right. Not that Wake's got a strong offense, but I like this.
I feel like this is the first time I've done it all year, too, changing my pick like that.
We're not really strict on anything like that, but if we did have mulligans, you still got yours in your pocket for sure.
Appreciate it, but not. That's a lot for this defense to cover after what happened last time.
Yeah,
not last week, 2 weeks ago. So,
well, I will say this was not the one I was trying to convince or change your mind on. So, you can't blame me on this one. I've tried to do convincing in the past, but this one was not.
You're right.
For sure. Oh man! All right, let's stay in the state of Florida for a second. Number 9, Ole Miss traveling to Gainesville to take on the Gators, coming off that huge win over LSU. DJ Lagway is back and appears to be fully healthy. Noon kick on ABC. Ole Miss, 11.5-point favorites. Jacob, tell me why you got the Gators pulling an upset.
Dude, this is a game, if I was betting these games, I would stay so far away from this game because you just don't know what's about to happen. We just talked about the Swamp and how it could be a madhouse when Florida's good. Well, even they're 5-5 right now, that it's probably going to be an absolute madhouse, even for a noon game, because they got Ole Miss coming to town, and they would just love to ruin Lane Kiffin's season right here.
Yep.
But man, I know DJ Lagway is 3-0 in the games he started and played the full game. And like you said, he's playing and just had one of their biggest wins of the season. So it feels right to take Florida here. But man, I got to stick with this Ole Miss. This is one of the few teams that have kind of stuck around and been like, okay, my conference picks earlier this year, Ole Miss is still in it. They have to win this and they have to have a couple things work out for them. But I mean, this defensive line versus DJ Lagway is going to be really fun to watch. We'll see how they can contain him and maybe get some pressure on him. And I'm going to lean on that to be the game changing thing here. So I have to go with the Ole Miss here. They're playing pretty well. Not that the Florida defense won't be able to stop Jackson Dart, at least in my mind. So just 11.5. I'm going to take Ole Miss.
As a Gamecock fan, I am not a fan of the Gators at all. And it is weird this year not playing. Honestly, not playing Florida, not playing Tennessee, not playing Georgia, a team that those teams, we've all been in the same division for years and years and years. It's very weird. But I am going to be a very big Gators fan this weekend. I'm just not the biggest Kiffin fan, and I'm here for chaos. And I'm here for opening any type of conversations that we can get some of our teams closer to the top. I don't really think it's going to happen because it would need some miracles. But I'm also just here for chaos in general. So I'm going to take Florida to cover the 11.5. Maybe would throw in a parlay if I could, just with Florida, because it'd probably be like +300, +400, and would boost your parlay odds a little bit. So it's going to be a sneaky one, a game I'll also be tuned in pretty heavily to. Jacob's going to side with, I'm sorry, Clint's going to side with you though, Jacob. He's going to roll Ole Miss as well. I think he probably believes in that offense a little bit more than he does DJ Lagway, which I get. But again, Lagway's got some on the line, and that's being undefeated as a starter. So we'll see. If Lagway plays all year and he's healthy, even with the toughest schedule in America, this Florida team would probably be one of those like 6-7 win teams that you would be like, dude, they probably are one of the better teams in the country, but they also play, you know, a top 10 team every week, it seems like.
I think people are saying that somewhat about them anyway. 5-5 right now.
And they might be. And I think they've been, I mean, I know it's not been DJ Lagway, but it's been Mertz, but there's also just been some other inconsistencies,
yeah,
coaching decisions, turnovers, things like that. But it's a stretch, but it's not like psychotic of a take, I will say. I mean, I yeah, think we all kind of said before this year that, look, Florida is probably going to be better than their record says they are. And for them to be 500 right now, probably a reason they also came out and said, look, we're supporting Billy Napier and we're not going to can him, at least not at this yeah point. So
I agree.
All right. These next ones we can kind of breeze through, I would imagine. We're going to stick with the SEC. Number 10, Georgia, hosting UMass. This is a 12:45 kick on the SEC network. The Bulldogs are 42-point favorites coming off that double-digit win over Tennessee. Jacob, who you got?
UMass is 2-8 on the year. They never really good. So this opened at 43.5, and it's been kind of bet down to 42. But I just, this is a mismatch for his number of blue chips versus a UMass team that doesn't really have any. I you just wonder how deep Georgia will go to prove a point here. And I personally will take the 42 in Georgia to cover that. I think 8-2 right now, but they still need to, I don't want to say they don't need to prove a point by blowing a team out by more than 42, but I say they will. So Georgia -42.
Yeah, I think they'll have 35 by halftime for sure. If it was any other probably team in FBS, I'd probably pick them to cover the 42, but UMass is just pretty horrendous. So I'm going to take the Bulldogs. There you go. I like that. Clint and I are both on the Bulldogs, so Georgia across the board. All right, next game, we'll stick with the SEC. A pretty similar game, pretty similar spread. Number 11, Tennessee hosting UTEP. That is University of Texas El Paso, formerly known as Texas Western. This is a 1 p.m. kick, ESPN Plus. Tennessee 40.5-point favorites. Jacob, where do you lean?
I'm going to go UTEP because I don't think both teams are going to win by 40-plus. Tennessee just lost to Georgia. That doesn't mean that Georgia's going to cover because of that, and Tennessee won't because of that game, but I just think one of those teams won't, and I just think this, just for numbers sake, Tennessee won't here. 40.5 for them. I know it's another 2-18 with UTEP, but Tennessee's not one to really go up and score a shit ton like they did at the very beginning of the year. The first three games.
That's 40, what I was going to tell you is remember what they did at the beginning of the year.
They did. They
dropped
did
60 on some teams.
They did, but they haven't done it in a while. So I'm going to stick with UTEP here.
Well, Clint's going to lean the same. Clint also has UTEP covering the 40.5. This is what I was telling you when I was making my picks, and I was like, I feel like I'm selecting the same letter on a test, and you're like, something's got to change, even if yeah, even if you're picking the right answers, right? But I got Tennessee -40.5. I've always, it's been pretty known, like, I don't like these big spreads, but tune-up game before the last week of the season, I think these teams can get to a big start early, and not only can they get to a big start, their defense can hold them, even the second and third string guys. Tennessee's defensive line is deep. Georgia's D-line is deep as well, so I think that also helps in keeping the spread where it's at. I don't think these teams will score more than maybe 7 points between the two of them, so I'm going to take the big spread, not confident, but I got to lean with some of these high-scoring offenses. All right. Gotcha. Number 12, Boise State, playoff bubble. They're trying to get in there. They're traveling to Wyoming, 7 p.m. kick, CBS Sports Network. Boise State ended up covering a big spread last week, and this week they have another 23-point spread towards them. Jacob, where do you lean?
Here we are again, another 2-8 team, Wyoming yep being 2-8. This is not a Tennessee, not a Georgia, this Boise State team, but they are 9-1 with, again, I keep saying it, 9-1 with the one loss being to Oregon, at Oregon by just 3 points, I think. So,
yep.
It may as well be one of those top teams. Like I said, they actually have, based on the last playoff rankings, they are the fourth team. So they actually get a first round bye, which is wild to say that a group of five team is actually getting that right now. But dude, none of that means anything towards this game. I don't really know what kind of, you would think, you know, like, okay, Gianti's still in that Heisman. I think he's actually in the second for his like odds to win the Heisman. He's behind Travis Hunter right now. So how do those Boise State approach this right now? Do they go in there trying to kind of pad some stats for Gianti and they look to run it up, or do they look to kind of rest? Cause this doesn't really mean a whole lot. As long as they can get in there and get a dub, that, you know, right now they'll like, all they need to do is get the conference and they're definitely in. And right now, as long as they don't lose and look bad, they're not going to drop to where they're probably going to not get the first round bye at this point. So I'm going to say they take it kind of easy, but 23 is not 40. So I'm going to say that Boise State covers just because Gianti is a madman. And he'll, like I said, this could be a 28-3, 35-3 first half. And I still think Boise State will cover.
Yep. As long as Ashton Gianti is running back for Boise State and Josh Allen is on the Bills and not playing for Wyoming, I'm taking Boise State and the 23. So I think it's going to be an easy one. Hopefully they won't scare me as much as the last time when, again, they were down by two scores before covering the 21 by the end of that one. But I'm going to go Boise. I think this team's going to make the playoffs, and I think they're going to win at least their first round game, because I think, look, maybe not, they don't have the best defense, but what's going to win you championships? I know they say defense, but also running the ball. And this team obviously can run the ball like no other. So give me the Broncos. Clint's going to go the same way as well. Clean sweep for Boise and Ashton Gianti as he tries to solidify that Heisman trophy. All right. Now, this is a team that you were right, technically on top of the ACC, trying to stay right there to face Miami and or Clemson, depending on what happens in the next couple of weeks for the ACC championship game. Number 13, SMU traveling to Virginia. This is a noon kick on ESPN2. SMU 10-point favorites. Jacob, what do you see in this one?
Yeah, I mean, this team has not been stopped. This SMU team, especially on offense, they've scored 38, 48, 40, 34, 28 against Duke. And they lost a turnover battle against Duke, I think like 6-1. So they still won that game, scoring 28. So not many teams have slowed this team down. I'm just going to go on a wild card here and say the ACC is going to come down to it these last couple of weeks. Clemson still has a chance. I think either Virginia has to beat SMU and then SMU has to lose to another team, or Miami can just lose, whatever the case may be. It'll be competitive going down the stretch here for the ACC. And Virginia is actually 6-3-1 against the spread this year. A competitive team. At 10 is not a lot to cover, but I'm actually going to throw the wild card out there and say Virginia covers the 10.
Yeah, and look, you were right on Virginia last week. They're inconsistent, and Tony Elliott has not done a good job of convincing me that they're consistent enough to stay in these ball games. He has proven me wrong a couple of times, but you're right, dude. This SMU team, like, they're just rolling, and they've continued to roll. So at some point, yeah, I mean, last week, they didn't cover the spread. They still win by 10 in a conference game. Now, the defense has got to get better. You allow 38 points to Boston College without Thomas Castellanos, right? Their playmaker that has now left the program. So in order for them to, win the ACC championship, they're going to have to play some better defense, because if it's SMU-Miami, if it's a shootout, which it's going to be, man, I probably trust Miami's offense a little bit more just because of Cam Ward, but that might be 60-60, and that might be like cricket. It might go on for 2 weeks. Like, we might not ever stop based on the offenses and lack of defense. So, but I am going to take SMU in this one. I just think they're too solid of a team, and they need to get right back on track as they head to the end of the year. So give me SMU. Clint's going to ride the same way. He's going to take the Mustangs, and man, I don't know how much. Oh, we're different on a few. All right. I got to catch this man in these picks. So, trying to see where we're at. Oh, man. All right. Number 15, Texas A&M traveling to Jordan-Hare Stadium, taking on Auburn, 7:30 kick ESPN. A&M only 2.5-point favorites. Jacob, this one to me is not that interesting, but the spread kind of makes you think about it a little bit. What does Vegas know that we don't? So I'm interested to hear your take on this one.
Yeah, I think just Auburn, a lot of the spreads for Auburn this year have been very small. I think that just the betting market just respects Auburn and just the program that they have been, and just think that they always have a tough team that doesn't want to quit. They're 5-5 against the spread this year, which is just as good as Oklahoma and better than Georgia. Georgia's 3-7, LSU's 3-7 against the spread this year. So I think it's just been a tough game. They've had the worst turnover kind of, you know, luck, if you want to call it, or just they can't keep the ball, whatever the case may be. And A&M's kind of, I don't want to say gone down. They're 8-2. They've still had an incredible year. No matter what happens to A&M from here on out, I think they could say it's been a great success there so far this year. So I think maybe this is, like we talked about earlier, this pilot, how this could be a look-ahead game because A&M's got Texas coming in town next week.
Oh, yeah.
Feels like that's like their Super Bowl for the year. So maybe that's kind of baked into it. And again, you know, Auburn gets 3 points being at home. So I think A&M's going to win this game, and I don't see it being like a 2-point game. So I think that I'm going to take A&M -2.5.
Yeah. I mean, look, Auburn's had some chances to win some closer games. Obviously they probably would have beat Missouri if Brady Cook didn't, you know, break out of the hospital and come back and finish that game. They played some other games close. So it's just like Peyton Thorne's like inconsistent, and it's kind of been, I mean, dude, like the past few years, even when Robbie Ashford was there, it was like these guys were switching in and out, and like Auburn just has not had a consistent quarterback in quite a while. So I don't, when it comes to A&M, whether it's Connor Wegman or Marcel Reed, I trust both those guys more than I do Peyton Thorne and A&M's defensive line. I mean, there's a lot of guys on the defensive side, especially the D-line, that are going to be playing on Sundays. So I'm going to take A&M -2.5. Clint's going to lean the same. And we'll take Aggies across the board. As like you said, they get ready to host Texas next week in a big one. All right, so there's only like three matchups this week where both teams are ranked, and this is the third one. BYU coming off the loss, traveling to Arizona State, right? Now after BYU lost, people are finally thinking, are they overrated or are they not? Look at the schedule. Look at the strength of schedule. But they travel to number 21 Arizona State. This is a 3:30 kick. ESPN, Arizona State's favored by 3. Jacob, I know you've been high on BYU this year. Ever since I watched the end of the BYU Utah, I'm totally off of BYU. I saw what I saw. I've seen enough. So I'll go ahead and just tell you, I'm going Arizona State straight up, whether they were favored or underdogs on this one. But I'm curious to see your take on this one.
Yeah, man. I think this is a case of who is hot and who is cold here. I think BYU has cooled down, and yep, obviously losing to Kansas last week, it wasn't a bad loss. Like, it was just by 4 points. But I just haven't seen any electric offense out of BYU the past couple weeks. Like I said, it just feels like they've kind of sputtered a little bit and slowed down after such a hot start to this year, which nobody expected that kind of a start for BYU. And so I just think they're kind of slowing down, while Arizona State is kind of coming out of nowhere and people kind of forgot about them. And they're sitting here at 8-2 and actually ranked in the top 25. And like I said, this is kind of like a, if they beat this team, they get to get to the Big 12 championship and probably play Colorado, you know, depending on what happens.
Yep.
But this game would not BYU out of the conference title race here. And I think Vegas has them, or ESPN and Vegas has them as basically a pick 'em game, because ASU is -3, like you said. So, I mean, Arizona State at home, they're the hot team. I'm going to take Arizona State -3.
Yeah, and this one is going to be, you know, clean sweep across the board. Arizona State's now 8-2, ranked in the top 25. They're rolling right now. And yeah, I think you're right. BYU's cold, and Arizona's kind of catching their win streak at a right time. And obviously the next game we'll get in again has some real consequences when it comes to the Big 12. But I just think that this BYU team has slowed down. They've been figured out, and I think Arizona State's going to be too much. So again, I didn't really care what the spread was. I was going to lean this way regardless. So give me the old Sun Devils to cover the 3. And that's, again, Clint's going to lean the same way. So clean sweep for the boys. And we'll move into, like you said, the other, this game's interesting. I've been pretty, obviously me and Clint have been high on Kansas, at least the beginning of the year, and you've seen what's happened. But now they're what, I believe 4-6 now, a chance to get to a bowl game. Kobe Bryant, the cornerback for Kansas, came out today and just said how excited he was to play Travis Hunter. In a nutshell, that's kind of what he said. But yeah, Colorado ranked number 16. They host Kansas, 3:30 kick on Fox. The Buffaloes are 3-point favorites. Now, like you said, Colorado controls their own destiny. I don't think between this week and playing, I believe, Oklahoma State next week, that they can play their way into the playoff without getting to the conference championship game and winning it for that matter. So they control their own destiny. And look, I really think they have a good shot to do it. So, Jacob, one, let me get your pick on the game and the spread. And then two, like, if they win this game, you think they go on and win the Big 12 championship?
Yeah, man, it's going to be interesting because, like you said, we were talking about hot and cold. Colorado's obviously hot, and they've been hot for a while. And then Kansas is starting to go from cool to hot. They're 3-2 in their last five, and they've beaten some pretty good teams. Obviously, BYU, Iowa State, who was a ranked team earlier this year, Kansas State, who's one of the better Big 12 teams. They only lost to them by just 2 points. So this Kansas team is kind of turning it around, and like we've talked about all year, they've had the talent, just hadn't put it on the field. And that's what we feel like we've said about Colorado for the past 2 years, is they have some talent here and there, but they haven't been able to put it together. Well, Colorado is able to put it together, and they're having a hell of a year, 8-2. Like you said, I don't know how much they look towards this game versus Oklahoma State. They, like I said, it's in front of them. All they have to do, this is the last, do they have Oklahoma State talking about Colorado next week? Because they've already played 7 games in the Big 12.
I thought it was Oklahoma State. Let me double check.
It is Oklahoma State.
Yep.
So they've played nine conference games?
Yeah, they I think a lot of the conferences do, and there's been talks of 10 with the new kind of mega conferences, if you will, super conferences. Okay. But
that makes sense. That just surprised me. Just kind of learned that. So
it makes it easier for some of these tiebreakers, I will say.
It does. But yeah, dude. Okay, so the spread here is Colorado -3. So again, kind of Colorado would be favored by 6 if it was at home for them. So, I mean, man, I've got to go with Colorado. This Kansas team, it feels like it's hitting the stride at the right time, but don't tell me this is how Colorado is going to go down, especially after getting that quarterback commit, Julian Lewis, I think his name is, just flipped today over to Colorado's for next year. Like, because people were talking about, okay, will Deion stay if his son gets drafted, especially goes to the Cowboys? Could he stay? Would he go coach the Cowboys? Something like that. And I think getting this recruit makes it feel like at least, okay, you know, he'll stay. So the momentum's there for Colorado. I'm going to take Colorado.
Yeah, you know, and that's a good point, man. You know, never say never with some of these job openings coming up, whether it is Dallas or Florida State, right? Things like that. But it does make you feel like if this guy committed now, granted, there's a portal, so, right? So, like, do you tell a kid, like, hey, you can just dip out of here if you want? It does seem odd to me that if he commits that Deion's going to leave. And then, I don't know if you saw that. I don't know if it was, I don't think it was an edit. I think it was an actual picture where it was Shador handing the keys to Julian.
It wasn't an edit. Okay.
It could have been, but I'm not sure. So maybe it was. I'll have to look a little more into that, but I think it's going to be a hell of a game, to be honest, because I think Kansas is playing really good, but this Colorado team, I think, just has too many playmakers, even outside of Shador and Travis Hunter. I think LaJonte Webster and some of the other guys on the outside, I think they're just too much for Kansas to keep up with. Even if Kobe Bryant's on Travis Hunter, again, what are the other corners and safeties are going to do? And can the D-line get pressure on Shador enough to make him make bad decisions? Because remember, in the pocket, he's still one of the best quarterbacks in college football. I mean, he's twitchy back there. He's not going to run a crazy ton, but he can get out of the pocket and make people miss enough to keep his eyes downfield and make plays. And honestly, that's where they're really good at, right? Guys kind of, you know, I don't want to call it backyard football because there is structure there, but to a degree, when he gets out of the pocket, you know, I just like think about like Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson, right? He gets out of the pocket. Now what? It's that communication that's not taught, right? That they just have between the two, that chemistry. So I like Colorado -3. I think it's gonna be a hell of a game though. And Clint also is gonna take the Buffs to cover the 3 points. And it looks like they got a real shot at this playoff thing, which I can't wait for, because it's gonna cause the nation to go into a frenzy. I feel like
it's gonna be fun.
The press conference is gonna be even better. Deion's gonna just, yeah, no one believed in me. All that stuff. So, all right, the next two games, no spreads on, so we'll just pick them straight up. It'll be pretty easy. Number 17 ranked Clemson hosting the Citadel, 3:30 kick on the old CW network.
I swear.
The old CW. I tell you what, South Carolina would never. No spread on this one. The old Bulldogs coming into town. This is Clemson's Military Appreciation Day. We're in the all purple unis. Jacob, I believe you are attending this game, and I know you're excited for it. I mean, it could be quick, and I think we all know the outcome, but Clemson Tigers, Obviously, we know what's happening next week, but you gotta face the Bulldogs first.
Yeah, man, it'll be awesome to be at a military appreciation day. I've never attended one of those yet. And like I said, we're in the all purples and stuff. And it's about to be an awesome day. Obviously, Clemson win the game. Doesn't even matter about the spread. The main goal here for is looking forward is just to keep everybody healthy and get the backups maybe a couple extra snaps this week to get prepared for next week to play the old rival, the old South Carolina Gamecocks, which they have an easy one coming up too, obviously with Wofford. So I feel sure your goals are probably about the same as ours.
Yeah, same as ours. And, you know, I know we spoke about it a little bit last week, but the Citadel did beat Wofford last week. So you guys are playing the better opponent of the two, it appears. But yeah, South Carolina's hosting Wofford, 4 p.m. kick, ESPN Plus, SEC Network Plus, not the CW. Again, no spread plus on this one. But, yeah, plus, not minus. But no, you're right, dude. You're right. It is. That's the main goal, right? The main goal is to get some guys in there that don't play a lot. Clean football, not a lot of mistakes, right? Can we be focused enough to play an inferior opponent? It's senior day. Obviously, look, I'm sure we've done some film study on Clemson. I don't care what coaches say. Like, come on now. It's Wofford. So, but again, 2015 said it'll beat the Gamecocks. Different coaching staff, obviously. I'm not a fan of some of the guys that were on there, but... I think the goal is to get out healthy, is a clean game. Don't make stupid mistakes. Let's not let there be any conversation of just stupid mistakes as we get into Clemson game. Let's have a nice, clean game, get out healthy, and get ready for next week. So I think that's kind of all you can ask right now.
For sure.
All right, a couple more. Let's get it rolling. Number 22, Iowa State, back in the top 25 after being out for a few weeks. They're traveling to Utah to face the Utes. 7:30 kick on Fox. Iowa State, 7-point favorites. Jacob, who you got?
Yeah, man, I just kind of keep this kind of simple. I think after Utah kind of laid the bet against Colorado last week, I'm just going to take Iowa State here. Only having to cover 7, I don't care that it's at Utah. I think Utah, after they gave their all when they played the Holy War against BYU, lost by 1 point, and they got destroyed by Colorado last week. So I don't think they have too much more to fight for. I know they technically could find themselves in a bowl if they get the win the last two games of the season. But I've shitted on Iowa State enough this year. I just wanted to get them out the way because I didn't think they were worthy to be up in the top 10, like, or not top 10, but, you know, in the teens like they were above some teams like Clemson and stuff. So I'll give them their due here, and they'll beat a Utah team that's kind of reeling and cover the 7.
Clint's going to agree with you on the Cyclones. Jacob, I'm trying to make you happy, man. Iowa State is getting bounced out the top 25 this weekend because they are losing. They're not just not covering the spread. They're losing to the Utes, okay? Absolutely losing to the Utes. I got Utah. I don't know why. It's weird. Cam Rising, newsflash, still not playing. Will never play again for Utah. Will probably be on the roster next year, driving one of their little trucks that got NIL, but he won't be playing. The biggest scam in the history of college athletics is Cam Rising. Give me the Utes, man. Plus a 7. And this is where I make my comeback, Clint. I know you're hopefully listening. This happens right here. All right, two more. SEC and Big Ten. Let's finish it out. Number 23, Missouri, still ranked, which I get is 7-3 SEC team. There's some better 7-3 SEC teams. Traveling to Mississippi State to face the Cowboys, the Cowbells, is what I meant to say.
Well done.
What are they? They're the Bulldogs, but Cowbells is what I meant. Yeah. 4:15 kick on the SEC Network. Missouri, 7.5-point favorites. Jacob, who do you like in this one?
I'm surprised you're saying all that because, I mean, it took a last minute drive and y'all's best punch to beat Missouri at home. Like, I'm surprised you're going this far to say all this.
I haven't said anything bad.
Nah, just there's better teams than Missouri at 7-3.
There are. There's one. South Carolina Gamecocks. Be face on the field. That's what I meant. That's all I meant by that.
Fair enough.
That's
fair
proven. Enough. I have no other teams in my head. I really don't. I only have enough.
Another 2-8 team. Mississippi State's just kind of been a lost cause this year. That's mean. I don't know why I said that. That's mean. But Vandy of the SEC this year, which is something to say. So Missouri should go in there. I don't know how focused they are after losing a heartbreaker like they did last week. They feel like they had their heart torn out against y'all.
They definitely did.
Yeah, certainly did. But they finished the year with Arkansas. Talking about Missouri, they play Arkansas next week. So they should have two easy wins to finish the year. 9-3. Yep, 9-3. Can't math. But yeah, so I'm going to say Missouri only 7.5. I'm going to say they cover the 7.5 pretty easy here, and then probably do the same against Arkansas, whatever that line is next week. So
yeah, we'll see what that line ends up at. I'm not sure where that game's at. Clint and I are going to agree with the Mizzou -7.5. Look, I was at the game. I saw the way Brady Cook played. I saw the way Luther Burden played and Theo Weiss and Johnny Walker. If they're all healthy and playing like that, they're a very tough team. But it's one, Brady Cook had been playing hurt, so that was inconsistent. And then when Jupine was in, like, the team just was very, very inconsistent. And obviously, you look at the Bama and the A&M game when they're getting absolute blanked. That's why we were concerned about why the hell were they ranked in the top 25 with the way they were playing, right? Barely escape Auburn, again, getting blanked. They do have that win versus Vandy. But the way they played last week, look, man, Brady Cook was getting the ball out very quickly, which was a problem for our D-line getting to the quarterback. So if they can do that and play that way, they're a tough out. Especially if you run man to man on Luther Burden. I mean, he's probably going to win 9 times out of 10. So I'm going to take Missouri. I think it's going to be a double digit win for the old Tigers there. All right, let's wrap things up. Number 25, Illinois. Again, another team back in the top 25. They're traveling to, I could be wrong, it's not Piscataway, New Jersey, is it? Where's Rutgers at?
Piscataway?
Is it Piscataway? I need to know if
you
I'm right on this
pulled
that
one out of the hat. I wouldn't know.
I think it's actually, I think it's another city. But they're traveling to Rutgers.
No, you're right. It is Piscataway.
That away.
Dude, Browning points for you.
There we go. I don't know I don't know how my brain retained that one, but Piscataway, New Jersey. look, I think, what's the coach's name? Shiano, right? Greg Shiano is the coach.
Greg Shiano, yep.
He is the coach of Rutgers, which last time they were ranked like what, top 10, he was the coach. But there's no Ray Rice for obvious reasons. One, he should be in jail. But one of the best running backs in the nation, they don't have him. 12 p.m. kick on Peacock. You got to watch this game. Rutgers, though, is favored over the ranked team by one. I'm taking Illinois and the Illini. I know I've been all over the place. The Piscataway thing got me, dude.
what was any of that? That was awesome. That was crazy.
Oh, man. Clip it all.
Do not watch this game.
Yeah, I did lie to you guys. Do not watch this game. There's a lot more games going on. But if you have Peacock and you're trying to watch a Christmas movie and you're like, I can't decide, and then your husband decides to flip to the Illinois Rutgers game, keep it on. Keep it on.
Yeah, if you have Peacock, first of all, don't watch this game. Noon kickoff on Peacock. Anyway, that's disrespectful. Both of these teams have pretty good years. Piscataway is awesome that you remember that. Illinois is 7-3. They're ranked 25th. I think they were overranked this whole year, and I think they're still a little bit overranked. And Rutgers has been a decent little team. I think this game, I thought, opened up with Illinois being like a 1-point favorite or something. I think it's flipped to Rutgers, but this thing's telling me that Rutgers was a 1.5-point favorite when it opened, and now it's just a 1-point for Rutgers. So regardless, basically a pick 'em. Greg Schiano, fuck it, let's give it to him. Let's give Greg Schiano another win. Go 7-4, and go Rutgers, baby.
Look, well, now with that said, you guys might both be watching this game because Clint picked Rutgers, you picked Rutgers, I picked the Illini. So this might have to be a must-watch game. No, I'm just kidding. I will not be watching this game at all. I will hope I even remember to like click the score in this one to see. Look, we do differ in a few, so this is good. We're gonna have some waves coming in for the picks.
Just disrespected both these teams so bad.
We sure did. Hey, but I know where Rutgers is, so that should be plus 10 points. That should cover me. Piscataway, New Jersey. I think I could spell it too, but I'm not going to it. P-I-S. Hold up. I have to write it down. It starts with piss, though. I know that. And that's what this game is. It's a piss poor game. That's exactly what this is. Oh, man.
Well done.
I love it. All right. I need to get off the mic because my brain is taking control. And I don't have any control right now. But all right, man. That wraps up week 13. We have one more week, man, as far as regular season goes. And then we got conference championships. We got Army, Navy. And then we got playoffs, man. Obviously, we got bowl games. So I'm excited.
It's getting real.
It'll be the first time ever. This is the first year of the college football 12-team playoff. First time that we get it for the first time.
Your brain really is taking over. No, it's going to be hella fun, dude. It's going to be absolute chaos. That's for sure. We still have no clue who the heck's going to win. The Big 12, the SEC, the ACC.
I don't even know who's going to the games yet. I don't even know who's playing each other.
And we got crazy. 2 weeks left. So this is absolute chaos, and that's why we love it, dude.
Love it. Well, Clint should be with us next time, hopefully, to recap this. And hopefully we'll make some progress in these picks, man, because I'm trying to take over first. See what happens.
Yes, sir. Good luck to y'all, boys.
All right, man. All the way from Piscataway, Jacob and JC. We'll see you guys next time.
See ya.